The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Brethren, if our lives do not back up our words, then we're simply causing damage to our own lives if we are speaking words that appear or seem to be righteous. What I mean is, if our words are not in agreement with our behavior or our conduct, we're also doing ourselves even greater harm if we are not completely honest. The lesson is simple. We must make both our words and our works, our conduct, our behavior, good and acceptable, so that they will be in agreement with our behavior and with the conduct and with our positions that we may have. Go with me to Proverbs 17 and verse 7. Proverbs 17 and verse 7. Excellent speech becomes not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. And brethren, what we please need to understand here is that excellent speech is only attractive when it is spoken by someone who is wise. And I think that we would all understand it and think that we would agree with that. But let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12, because that's what basically Solomon tells us. In Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow him up. So, excellent words, excellent speech, and it's talking about words coming from the person's mouth. And I made the statement that it's only really attractive when it comes from the mouth of a wise person, because the fool is a fool, and it doesn't even seem right when we think about it in that way. Because here's the thing that we should know, that a fool never can speak excellently. And here's the reason why. Because first of all, an excellent speaker tells the truth in its entirety. And by definition from Scripture, a fool is someone who's not going to always do that. And so that's the first thing we have to see, and that's the first thing we need to understand. We can also see from the books of Psalm and Proverbs that the truth is not in a fool. In fact, that we can also see that a fool has no understanding. We're not going to go there and read it, but those statements are basically a rewording from Psalm 14 in verse 1 and from Proverbs 18 in verse 2. Whatever comes out of the mouth should not be followed or regarded in any way when it comes out of the mouth of a fool. But what if he speaks words that are truth? Words coming out of the mouth of the fool should not be regarded and should not be followed. We cannot depend upon what he says. A fool in the book of Proverbs implies a wicked person. And therefore, excellent speech does not become him, because his conversation, or in reality, it would probably better be to state, is to state that his behavior cannot be trusted because of the fact that he is the fool. In other words, we've all had the statement, he says one thing and he does another. And so which one should you be following? And the answer is neither, because we really should not be that so involved in the teachings or the life or the instructions or whatever. A person who is a real fool by definition out of the Bible anyway. When fools try to sound wise, what they do is they tend to irritate others by their pride and their hypocrisy or their insincerity. Because if you know that they're a fool, that's really what it is. And there's a lot of different ways, and I'm not going through it in this particular teaching to show how we can always tell a person is a fool. But can we tell when a person is a fool? Yes, the Bible shows it. It's not part of this particular teaching. While on the other hand, someone like a prince, whom God has put in authority, must be above reproach. After all, they are to be our example. If they're in positions of authority, positions of responsibility, they should set an example for all of us. Therefore, it is even more important that they speak truth, since they directly affect the lives of those who are their followers, those who are underneath them, or whatever term that we would want to use, because we would depend upon their integrity. And so we would expect them to say right things, for their speech to coincide with their behavior. And when we think about it, I know that we all can understand this. I mean, you know, if we really think about it like this, it is far worse when a person is in authority that does not have the highest regard for honesty and truth. We expect it of the fool. We don't expect it of someone who is in a position of authority. Proverbs 16 and verse 12. Proverbs 16 and verse 12. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for or because the throne is established by righteousness. In other words, he's in a position of authority. He doesn't have to necessarily be a king. We have to understand that's a principle. If we talk about any person is in a position of authority, any person who is in a position of leadership or any of those kinds of things, that office that that person is in, it says, has been established, and has been established there by God. And so the person who is in that position is not to commit any kind of wickedness. I think it's good for us also to understand that speech is usually a good measure of a person, and that is why incompatibility between speech and behavior is so bad. Which one do you trust? Well, you understand that the person is a fool by understanding and definition. You wouldn't trust either one. But when you don't know, but you see, you hear speech, words from a person, and you see behavior of the person, and they're not compatible, which one do you believe? Well, what we tend to believe is the behavior. That's what the truth of the person is. What I'm meaning is, we don't know whether the words are right or wrong, but we would tend to believe that the way the person is acting, that's how the person really is. That don't mean that that's truth, but that's their presentation of who they are. And so that's why this is so important. Speech and behavior should be the same. And when it's not compatible, then there are some issues, there are some problems. Let me put it this way. Even evil people can sound honorable or wise or virtuous for a moment. Would we agree with that? And the answer is, I think we would all agree with it. And then on the other hand, someone who is a prince, someone who is expected to be trustworthy, can reveal an evil heart by fraud or lying. Let's go to Proverbs 17 and verse 7, because that's what we read. That's what we see in this verse. Excellent speech becomes not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. Scripture also tells us that even a child is known by his doing, not necessarily his talking. That's what it says. Proverbs 20 and verse 11. Proverbs 20 and verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his works be pure and whether it be right. There's an old saying, and I know most of you probably have heard this, actions speak louder than words. And that's kind of a summation of what I'm saying in this, that speech and action should be compatible. And when they're not, it's the actions that are speaking the loudest. Which means, therefore, we have to come back and make sure that our speech is excellent, that they're right words, that they honor God, that they're true words, and all of those things. And this is what we're seeing. When people hear good speeches from ignorant or wicked men, they are seen as being disgusting. And the reason is because we know these two things on this person, they do not compute. They are not the same. And so we see it and we understand it. Foolish or evil men do not have the right heart to offer advice, so they should be ignored and rejected. Go with me to Proverbs 17 and verse 16. Proverbs 17 and verse 16. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it? In other words, why would you listen to him? Because his heart's not right. Now let's go to Proverbs 26, verse 1. We're going to read several verses here because here's a real good place in Scripture where it actually talks about what the fool looks like, acts like, and what we should do about it in some of the situations. Proverbs 26, verse 1. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. It's telling us you don't trust the fool. This is what it is saying, and it's saying it in different ways, but this is what it is saying. Verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you also be likened to him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest to be wise in his own conceit. And if you don't understand these two verses, because it says do in one time and don't at another time, we actually have an article on our website that goes into this and explains it. So you may want to go and even look it up because we have an answer on there. Verse 6, he that sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off the feet and drinks damage. Because he can't be trusted. He can even come back and say, yes, I delivered the message. And he may or may not have done so. That's how bad it is, because you can't really trust. And this is the point that he's making. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. As he that binds a stone in a sling, so is he that gives honor to a fool. You think Solomon understood fools and how they should be looked upon? And the answer is absolutely. Verse 9, I have just this one more. As a thorn goes up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouths of fools. When this type of person that we just saw in all of these nine different verses, when we see this type of person tries to join into discussions that is going on between, let's say, wise and sensible men, they are in reality simply being disrespectful. Now, I don't know about you, but do you ever see that happening? And the answer is probably so. Probably so. Probably so. So with this in mind, let me ask you this question. How much worse do you think it is for a person in a position of authority to lie? As bad as the fool is, and we should all be able to recognize he's a fool, and I've already made the statement, tried to get the point across. You don't follow what his advice is. You don't do what he says. You disregard it. Now, how you deal with the individual, that's another thing, but I'm just saying, but you don't get involved, and you don't follow their advice. How much worse do you think it is when a position in authority lies? What do you think about a person who is in a position of authority and it comes across as if he is there for the comfort and the guidance and the prosperity and the security for his friends or for his cohorts? Not very well, do you? Because that's not what a person in a position of authority should be doing. They're to be there for looking after the well-being for everyone. But that's not how we wouldn't think that, would we, when they're there and when it's obvious it is just for their own agendas, shall we say. Because, brethren, here's the point. Dishonesty destroys confidence in those who are in a position of authority, as well as it perverts fairness or justice. Leaders and rulers must not lie because it leaves a horrible stain on their reputation and upon the office on which they are serving. So I think that we would see that without a doubt, deceit or lying of any kind is always inappropriate for any person, and especially for someone who is in a position of influence. I think that we would also all agree that the privilege of authority and leadership also brings the responsibility of truth. And by now, some of you are probably saying, why are you telling me this? Why do I need to know this? Because, brethren, we are all, I guess we could use the term, we're all training to become kings and priests in the kingdom of God. It all applies to us. It all applies to us. Maybe in this particular life, at this particular moment, we're not in positions of authority, but it still applies to us because the principles impact us, because the way that the right king is to be, that's how we are to be learning. This is how we are to become. This is who we are to be. We're not to be the fool, and we're to learn not to be that way. And so there's a comparison here, and which one are we to be like? Obviously, it's like the king or the prince. So it does have something to do with our lives on an individual and a collective basis. Solomon and the Apostle Paul warned us about the world's wise, those who are wise in the world. So let's go to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 9 we will begin. And then we'll go over and read some verses from the Apostle Paul. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Now he's talking about himself, but he's going to get in and going to say some words here in just a moment. Verse 10. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Now, with that in mind, let's go over to the New Testament and see what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 1, 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And so we were warned that we are, so what is, what these, both of these passages are actually telling us in one way or another that we are to be warned about the wisdom of the world, because it's not of God. It may sound so good and so right and all, but if it's not God's words. I don't know if you've ever heard this statement, but there is a phrase that is used by governments of the world. They have often said, or at least implied, he who knows not how to dissemble knows not how to rule. This word dissembles means mislead. If a person does not know how to mislead, then he doesn't know how to rule. That is a taught philosophy in the governments of the world. So we already should have a hands up looking and go, oh, we got to check it all out, everything, whether it sounds good or whether it doesn't sound good. It may, either one of them may be not good. And we have to be a wise person in looking at it, because we are believers and we are to place our faith and trust and confidence in what the Word of God says, not what the Word of man says. Yet at the same time, what we also need to understand is they are the blind leading the blind. I don't care how wise they may seem. They are the blind leading the blind, and they and their followers will both fall into the ditch of trouble and destruction, because that's exactly what Jesus Christ told us. Go with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. Matthew 15 and verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, you can read all the verses up to it, what he's telling them. That's not my point. And he says, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, that defiles the man. In other words, what he speaks, what he says. Then came his disciples and said unto him, know you that the Pharisees were offended after they heard the saying? Do you realize that what you just said offended them? And what did Jesus say? Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend them. Right? So what he said? Well, let's read and see what he says. Verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. God's going to deal with it. God is going to deal with it. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. There have been some leaders in positions of authority that have tried to do the right thing and say some right words, and at least that was their point. That was what their at least their stated purpose was. And so there have been some wise who have known to give the value of truth to the office of where they were. One example, you may or may not have ever heard of this particular person. That's fine. You can look him up and read about him if you don't know. But King Alphonsus of Aragon, who read the Bible through 14 times, tried to use the Bible in his position as a king. And there's this one statement that I came across that I found very, very interesting. He says, one word of a prince should be of a greater security than a private man's oath. In other words, every word that is spoken by the king or by a prince or possessor in authority should be right. This is what he's implying, because he's in a position of authority. That's the implication. Now, with that in mind, go with me to Proverbs 16 and verse 10. Proverbs 16 and verse 10. I'm going to read this from the New American Standard Bible. Proverbs 16 and verse 10. A divine decision is in the lips of the king. His mouth should not err or be unfaithful in judgment. And what this king has said is, that's the way we should be living our lives if we're in any kind of position of authority. That's what he's saying. That's what he's implying. And I agree with it. And if you read about this man through history, if you read anything about him, you'll find out that's what he tried to do. Did he make mistakes? Yes. Why? Because he's still flesh and blood human being, and I don't have any reason to even know that the man had God's Holy Spirit. But he was still trying to do it right, and that's the point. I don't know that most people in the world are even really trying to do it right. They're trying to do their right. What we need to realize is it is through truth, honesty, and faithfulness being demonstrated in leaders that those who follow them will aid those who follow them to find peace and comfort and security, so they will have confidence in their leader's words. So in other words, the leader has to present these things and has to have this as part of who and what he is, so that those who are to be following him, and it could be her, that they are to be able, as a result, they can find peace and confidence and security to trust the words of their leader. Great kings delight in righteousness and in right speaking that flows from a pure heart. Now go with me to Proverbs 16 and verse 13. Proverbs 16, verse 13. Proverbs 16, 13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaks right. Now go to Proverbs 22 and verse 11. Proverbs 22 and verse 11. He that loves pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Here's a couple of major principles that people who are wise rulers, and of course I'm talking about this, you know, when I'm talking about wise rulers, I'm talking about us. You know, I say, yeah, I'm not a ruler. No, we're all rulers in training. I mean, so we have to understand this is talking to every one of us. This is the way we're to be. A couple of principles here I think is really good for us to see. One is wise rulers know truth will preserve their reign. Proverbs 12 and verse 19. Proverbs 12, verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. So we would understand this. We would understand that wise rulers know that truth will preserve their reign. And the second one is they also know that lies will corrupt their reign. That lies will corrupt their reign. Proverbs 29 and verse 12. Proverbs 29 and verse 12. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. I know that we all know and we understand that there really has only been one whose lips never came close to lying. And of course, that's Jesus Christ. And we know that, who is referred to as the faithful and true witness. I'm going to show you some verses. We're going to read a couple of two or three verses here. Revelation 1 and verse 5. Revelation 1 and verse 5. We're reading these because it shows the way Jesus Christ is, which is the way that we are to be. This is the purpose. This is our purpose here. Revelation 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Would we be a faithful witness? It's a question we have to ask. If we slant it in any direction, if we slant it to sound one way, and it's not exactly that way, is that being a faithful witness? We need to be exactly like Jesus Christ is. And the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of this earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 3 and verse 14. Revelation 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the creation of God. One more here. Revelation 19 and verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. He's a faithful and true witness. Does that describe us? I'm going to give you now a couple of points that we can see about the faithful and true witness. Some other verses it's going to back up. It's not going to say that he is a faithful and true witness as such, but we're going to see some other things. The first one is, he is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. That's what he says. That's what he tells us in John 14 and verse 6. John 14, 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And there are others. I'm just using one passage on each one of these points. The second point that we can see about the faithful and true witness is he is the word of truth. James 1 and verse 18. James 1 verse 18. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And the other point that I have here is he brought grace and truth, and he bore witness to the truth. Now, could all of these things, you know, speak about us and you know, and how it applies to us? And I would hope that it would. John 1, verse 14. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Actually, I have another place, John 18 and verse 37, John 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every man that is of the truth hears my voice. And this is when Pilate says, so what is truth? You know, he didn't know. He didn't get it. He didn't understand that he was looking at, in that sense, truth. David, King David, knew that he, used the phrase, paled into in his comparison to Jesus Christ. He understood. He did not compare to Jesus Christ in any way, and he understood that. But I'll show you what I'm talking about. Go with me to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said. So he's describing himself here. Verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spoke unto me, and his word was in my tongue. The Lord of Israel said, The Rock of Israel spoke to me, He that rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing up out of the earth by clear shining after rain. We can see he's painting this picture for us. Although my house be not so with God. He said, that's not how my house is. That's what it should be, but that's not how it is. Yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he made it not to grow. He understood. His kingship didn't compare to what the way Jesus is, but he also knew what God was going to be doing through him. And so that's what we need to, I guess we'd have to say, we need to take comfort in all of that as well. We need to be doing the things that we know, repenting of the things we know that we're not doing right. I have three things here, three points for us as believers to take a look at ourselves. Number one, let every one of us as believers despise and reject all exaggeration, dishonesty, and lying. Despise and reject all exaggeration, dishonesty, and lying. Number two, let every one of us as believers go out of our way to make things openly and visibly honest to all people. And number three, let every one of us as believers remove all folly and sin so that we will not pollute and stain the way of life of God with any of our insincerity or dishonesty or hypocrisy. That we would remove all folly and sin so that we will not pollute and stain the way of life of God with any of our insincerity or dishonesty or hypocrisy. Okay, so here I want to ask us a question. I want us to think about it. Why should the truth of God be polluted through the lips of a fool? Why should it? Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 39. Ezekiel 20 and verse 39. I'm going to read from the New American Standard Bible. As for you, house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go, serve everyone his idols, but later you will surely listen to me, and my holy name will you profane or pollute no longer with your gifts and with your idols. Just go ahead and go. Time's going to come when that's not going to happen anymore. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. This means like this word that is sure, is going to happen. This is what this word of seal means here. The Lord knows them that are his, and, the second part, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity or from unrighteousness. That should be something we should all have ready on our lips, forefront of our thinking, that describes us, that's what we're doing. We're going to depart from all unrighteousness. Anything that is, words, deeds, that describes it. Okay. hypocrisy, which also could be described or could also be used as insincerity, pretense, or double standards, is the greatest stain and scar on God's word that is all too often placed there by people who claim to be followers of God. Don't ever let that be us. Don't ever let that be us. Matthew 15, verse 7. Matthew 15 and verse 7. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this comes from Isaiah 29 and verse 13. Verse 8. This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Their own words. Now let's go back to Ezekiel. I want you to go back to Ezekiel 33 and verse 31. Ezekiel 33 and verse 31. And they came unto thee as the people comes, and they sat before thee as my people, and they heard thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. Now, what he's describing here are what are called the people of God. So I think a question we need to turn and look and, you know, look at ourselves in the mirror and say, is he talking about me? Because this is a warning, brethren. This is a warning. Go to Titus 1, verse 16. Titus 1, verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. He can't be talking about people who would consider themselves as non-believers. He's got to be talking about people who state that they are, quote, Christian. Okay, I want to go back to the very first verse that we read in the beginning of this teaching. Go back to Proverbs 17 and verse 7. Excellent speech becomes not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. The Hebrew word that is shown here as excellent could also be translated, because of usage, it could also be famous, gallant, glorious, goodly, lordly, mighty, mightier, noble, principal, and worthy. I think the word excellent fits better with our vocabulary today, the way we would use the word. It means, it's talking about, it's the best. It's the best. Excellent. The best. Words. Which would be, what kind of words would be the best words? God's words. His way of life. What he would be saying. The words that Jesus Christ would be speaking. Excellent words. Becomes not a fool. But who should be recognized as someone who speaks excellent words? Believers. Believers. Let me try and put it this way. An overabundance of words, and I mean talking too much, is not out of place for a fool, because that happens all the time with fools. Yet excellent speech is out of place with a fool, because it is something we do not expect of fools. So what is the lesson from all that we have seen here today? In other words, what is the lesson for us as believers? having discernment is a very valuable tool for a believer. Some people are fooled by the words of the prince because he is a prince. Would you agree with that? Yeah. Some people can be fooled by a fool because he speaks as a prince. Would you agree with that statement? So what does it take? Discernment or wisdom. And if we don't have it, we pray for it. We ask God. James tells us, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And he gives. He gives. So if we don't have discernment, we don't have wisdom, then we need to ask. And God gives it to us. Because that's what he says. And that's what we need. To be able to discern what the words are that the person is speaking. Is this a fool who's speaking like a prince, or is this a prince, but he's speaking like a fool, but we believe him because he is a prince. Those who have wisdom, and by that I hopefully mean us, will be able to see through a pretense or hypocrisies or insincerity or someone who has a double standard. James 1 verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And what I'm saying is don't be fooled by someone who is unstable in all of his ways. Even though he speaks good words, he looks like a prince, walks like a prince, but does he speak like a prince? I don't know. Well, that person who looks like a prince and walks like a prince and should be speaking like a prince is not. That's a person who is unstable in all his ways. That's the point. I think that there are too many times that there are people that we listen to and they are people that we really should not be listening to and for some reason or another. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm not naming names. It's not even that. I don't have anybody in my mind, but I think that that's what we do. In other words, when someone is pretending to be something that they are not, that's the person we need to recognize, we need to stay away from. A fool is still a fool, even though he sounds like a prince. And a prince, even though he may be a prince, can act as a fool. And it takes discernment, wisdom, to be able to distinguish it. The important thing for us as believers is that we do not allow ourselves to be discouraged by hypocrisies. We are to keep our eyes on our relationship with God. As believers, it is absolutely necessary that we live a life that is true to the name of Jesus Christ. And here I'm meaning the name Christian, even though I don't tend to use that word because of what the connotation is with so many other people claim to be Christian. I usually use the word believer or true believer, but still we understand that. And therefore we should not be hypocrites. We claim to be Christian or believers, but our lives are not really that way. Romans 14, verse 17. Romans 14 and verse 17. We'll read this from the New International Version. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. We're not necessarily looking for human approval, but it's going to be there. That is the point. we also could get slapped in the face because we're living that way of life, and we understand that as well. But they're still going to be there. But I'm talking about the main thing is because if anyone lives that way of life, we are going to be pleasing to God. Verse 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification, or to mutually lifting up each other. Brethren, excellent speech is expected of us as believers, and it demonstrates that we are being approved and accepted by God. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, God bless each one of you with excellent speech and pureness of heart. God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.